Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but every time I think about what Jesus says about the two greatest commandments, I am keenly aware of how often I mess those up. I'm keenly aware of not loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, or with all my mind. Let me confess right now that God does not get all the love in my heart, soul, and mind. I'm also keenly aware of not loving my neighbor as I love myself. And sometimes I don't even love myself. So I fail at loving God, neighbor, and self all the time. And doing all three at once? So full disclosure here, I am not standing here because I get those two commandments right. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew chapter 22. And in this chapter, the religious authorities are repeatedly confronting Jesus, trying to expose him as a false prophet. They ask Jesus a series of trick questions about the law. And every time, Jesus' answers are so unexpectedly good, they silence his opponents. Now, the religious authorities are actually in a very difficult position when it comes to Jesus. The Pharisees in particular, like Jesus, live among the people. The Pharisees are not the temple priests in Jerusalem. Those are the Sadducees, and they stay in the temple in Jerusalem. The Pharisees are out in the villages and the towns. They're a lot more like parish pastors. So they live among the people, teaching and interpreting religious law for the whole community. The law, the Torah, was for the Jewish people similar to what we might call a means of grace. Following the law is what brought you closer to God. The Jews were set apart as God's people, and God gave them the law, the Torah, in order for them to know how to live as God's people. So in the Hebrew Bible, which is what the Pharisees and Jesus are confronting each other about, God gives laws about ethical principles, like the Ten Commandments, laws about very specific things, like what kinds of foods to eat or avoid, what kinds of fabrics to wear or avoid. But it's all God's law. It all comes from God. So imagine you are a Jewish person in first century Palestine, and think about living that out. If every time you sat down to a meal, you made sure that that meal was pleasing to God, that everything on the table was prepared according to the law that God had given you, wouldn't that make you more mindful of God, more aware of God? If every time you put on some clothing, your clothing was made of the kind of fabric that God had specified, and when you put on that distinctive clothing, that clothing marked you as a follower of the Lord your God, wouldn't that make you more mindful of God? If anyone is wearing a cross necklace today, or a shirt with a scripture quote on it today, doesn't that make you a little more mindful of Jesus? Make you a little more thinking about God? So the object of the law in the Hebrew Bible is to bring people closer to God. And the Pharisees are the law's teachers and interpreters. But here comes this Jesus character who has been publicly defying God's law and getting all kinds of followers. And so the Pharisees, who teach and interpret God's law so that people can be closer to God, because that's what the law is for, have some very mixed motives when it comes to Jesus, for sure. But they definitely see Jesus as dangerous. They see him as a false teacher. They see him as a false prophet. So this is why they're out to get him. So they come to Jesus and they ask, which of God's commandments is the greatest? But it's important to understand why this is a trick question. The law is holistic. The Torah, God's law, applies to all aspects of life. God didn't give the 9 commandments. You're supposed to obey all of God's law. This is not cafeteria Torah here. In the way you dress, the foods you eat, in the way you worship, in the way you treat the stranger and the widow, in the words you say when you wake up in the morning and go to bed at night, you are supposed to do it God's way, all day. You are supposed to be mindful of God and live as God's people in every action you take, because all the law comes from God. So the Pharisee's trick question is, so, teacher, which of God's commandments is the greatest? So notice they ask him which one commandment is the greatest. However, Jesus answers with two. He says, loving God is the greatest commandment. But then he says, loving your neighbor as yourself is like it. And in Greek, that word like means the same, equal. So it's equally important. You cannot do one without doing the other. If you cannot love yourself, you cannot love God or neighbor. If you cannot love your neighbor, you cannot love God or yourself. If you cannot love God, you cannot love your neighbor or yourself. So it's inseparable. We might think of it as the law of love. We are commanded to love inside, outside, and all around. No exceptions. And that is how we live out God's law. We love. So Jesus is telling the Pharisees that the law is centered in love. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole being. And he is quoting Deuteronomy 6 there. And the commandment equal to it, he is quoting Leviticus, is to love your neighbor as yourself. It is all connected, and it is all right there in the Hebrew scripture, which Jesus and the Pharisees, of course, know backwards and forwards. But Jesus goes even further. Listen to what Jesus has done here. He says, not only are these the greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself, but on these two hang all the law and all the prophets too. They're asking him about the law. He's saying this is much bigger than the law. All of the messages and all of the messengers that God sent, the entire Hebrew tradition, hangs on this. In other words, it's like Jesus is saying, you want a bumper sticker slogan for what our entire scripture is about, our entire tradition is about? Get ready. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus says the whole shebang is about the love of God and the love of one another. And by extension, God's love for us. God's love for us. God gives the law and the first prophets in the first place out of God's love. You shall be my people. You shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I give you the law, I give you prophets. I will show you the way that the whole world, that all nations will know that you are my people by the way that you love me and you love one another. God loves us. God wants to be deeply connected with us. And God wants all of the people that God loves to be deeply connected with God and with one another. You, me, everyone. It is all about love. And that is incredibly good news, that the law and the prophets center on this. And we as Christians look to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as God saying that one more time. It is all about love. So what about the fact that we so often fail to live out the greatest commandment, that we cannot perfectly love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, more good news. We don't have to do it perfectly. Jesus did it perfectly. Through the perfect love and the perfect obedience of Jesus all the way to the cross, we are deeply connected to God, and we are embraced in perfect love, even though we cannot express perfect love. But we can and we do grow in love. And this is the action of God. This is Jesus' love and the Holy Spirit's work within us. Have you ever felt bad when you realized you failed to love well? Have you ever wished you could do that better? St. Augustine said something I think is very important to keep in mind. Augustine wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. I don't love perfectly. You don't love perfectly. But all of our hearts are restless until they rest in God. I think any time we sense that we do not love enough, that is the action of God within us. I think that's the restlessness that is God drawing us closer and closer. I think God puts this kind of homing device inside, this restlessness that we have. And that restlessness will not be satisfied until we rest in God. And when we rest in God, we cannot help but love. So condemning yourself for not being loving enough isn't going to make you more loving. So hear the good news. Our sins, including our failures to love God and neighbor, are already forgiven because God loves. And God's love, the love of Jesus Christ, frees us from condemnation. So please know that God has been, is, and will be shaping your heart toward greater and greater capacity for love. This gospel text is not about beating yourself up for not being loving enough. We Christians know that we cannot save ourselves. But we can also know and rejoice that Jesus' saving work of love is going on within us. That God's work of love is active in us and all around us, from the secret movements in our own hearts to the very public life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's work of love is going on inside you and all around you, in you, in me, in the world, in history, and before the beginning of time. God's homing device, God's love, is continuously active all the time, and our hearts are restless because God is stirring up love within you by any means that God can reach you, through Scripture, through Jesus, through our neighbors. God is constantly and in all ways drawing all of us closer and closer to God's own life-giving love. It is already happening within each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.